Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, May the 4th. It's May the 3rd. Sorry about that. Tuesday, May the 3rd. And welcome to our commentary. Well, I guess if you haven't heard by now, there was a big leak yesterday, and everybody's been talking about it in the whole country. And I was going to talk about a post that I wrote at the American Thinker today. We'll get to that in a minute. But this leak from the Supreme Court really has sent Washington into a state of anger and panic. And to give it to you, to give you the story briefly, as you know, the Supreme Court has been discussing a case, the Mississippi case. The Mississippi case came up to the courts last year, a little bit after the Texas case. And the Mississippi case basically says that there should be no abortion after 15 weeks. The Mississippi case also called for the overturning of Roe v. Wade on the basis that abortion should be decided by the states, not by the federal government. And that was, in essence, that what the Mississippi law was all about. In between the leak and the presentation of the Mississippi case, you had other states like Texas and others write abortion laws. For example, Oklahoma just wrote one. Florida just passed one very similar to the one in Texas. And, of course, Texas. And these abortion laws and different types of abortion laws, we call it the heartbeat here in Texas and Florida, is somewhat similar. In Oklahoma, it's a little bit more strict. But all of these abortion laws were written by state legislatures. And in the case of the Texas abortion law, it went to several times to several challenges, and it survived challenge after challenge after challenge. So everybody was expecting that the Supreme Court would be writing an opinion about abortion sometime this spring, or in probably May or June, as they usually write these things or publish these things. And I think a lot of people like myself, and I've mentioned this several times on the podcast as well as the video cast, that I've many times have said that I was pretty convinced that the Supreme Court was going to, at the very least, say that states had the right to regulate abortion, either heartbeat as here in Texas or 15 weeks as in Mississippi, where the case may be. But the Supreme Court was going to return the regulation of abortion to the states the way it was before Roe v. Wade. Now, I also said in many of these presentations that I felt there was also an opportunity or a possibility that the court could say the states can regulate abortion, but you have to have a window. You have to have a window for women who want to have an abortion, sort of a compromise, if you will, between regulating abortion, but at the same time, leaving a window in every state for a woman to have an abortion if she wanted to have one. And that's kind of where it stood here for several months as we were waiting for the Supreme Court to issue their opinion. Well, everything changed yesterday because there was a leak of the opinion. The opinion was written apparently by Justice Alito. Justice Alito is one of the very best justices in the Supreme Court. He was selected to the court by President George W. Bush, an excellent justice to say the least. And Justice Alito, according to this opinion that was leaked, was writing the majority opinion, 5-3 decision, basically saying overturning Roe v. Wade on constitutional grounds, simply saying the federal government there's nothing in the Constitution that says the federal government regulates abortion, and it should go back to the states the way it was before Roe v. Wade. Now, 5-3 means that there's a justice who has not made up his mind, and many people believe that is Justice Roberts, who apparently wants to have it both ways. He wants to say that the Mississippi law should be approved, meaning the 15 weeks, but he wants to leave that window that I was talking about before. I don't know, but it appears that Justice Roberts is sort of a middle ground. But you've got 5 votes, which is all you need to overturn Roe v. Wade. And apparently that's the way I was looking at this thing, and then there was a leak. Now, the leak in itself is atrocious, and whoever did it should be prosecuted. However they do this in the Supreme Court. To my knowledge, there has never been a leak like this in the history of the Supreme Court. You know, we've grown accustomed to leaks in the country. We have leaks for everything. I'm sure you remember the Russia investigation of President Trump when there was a leak all the time, or even during the impeachment of President Trump. There were leaks all the time. Their leaks have almost become second nature now in Washington, D.C., and they happen all the time. But in this case, we're talking about the leak of a Supreme Court opinion, something that had never happened before and hopefully will never happen again. So whoever did this has to be prosecuted completely, and I understand the penalties will be very severe. But actually, whoever did this was obviously interested in creating a certain political movement out there, or creating a certain amount of commotion, political commotion out there, to go against the Supreme Court, maybe try to intimidate Supreme Court justices by saying, look, you know, we're going to demonstrate, or we're going to do this. You've already seen demonstrations in front of the Supreme Court, people screaming at the court and calling them all kinds of obscenities. But I just don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. First of all, I'm assuming that this opinion is the right one, meaning it is not just a draft, but the one that would eventually be released. And the reason I say that is because several people, a heck of a lot smarter than me, have actually read the opinion or the draft or whatever you want to call it, and say that it sounds exactly the kind of opinion that Sam Alito, Justice Alito, would write. So I think it's probably correct. The opinion is probably true, or at least the will be eventually released by the Supreme Court. So I think they're trying to intimidate the court. I also think that there may have been some coordination here, which is very unfortunate. You know, you already have President Biden making a statement attacking the decision whenever it is released. You have Senator Schumer in the U.S. Senate calling for the Congress to codify Roe v. Wade, something they never did before when they had bigger majorities. So you have to wonder, what were these Democrats thinking? Because when they had bigger majorities, they never did this. And they've had 50 years to do it, but simply never took the time to codify Roe v. Wade, which would have made it a lot more difficult for the Supreme Court to overturn it. So where we are right now is that we have the draft of an opinion that appears to be legitimate. So I guess the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe v. Wade, 5-3, maybe 6-3. Roberts may decide to join the majority after we've gone through all of this, but I hope that everybody by now understands just how hysterical and fanatical the support for abortion in the country has been. Abortion is in many ways a religion for many people in the left, and for them, abortion is the end of women's rights. I mean, if you do away with abortion, it's the end of civilization for women's rights, which is, of course, pretty stupid to believe that, but that's what they believe. And they believe that abortion is all about choice. Of course, that choice apparently doesn't apply to the little girls who get aborted, who never have an opportunity to have a choice. So no matter how you slice this thing, I think it's very, very difficult what happened We should never have these incidents where Supreme Court opinions are leaked to the media. That's not what the court is about. And I hope that Justice Roberts will act very quickly because you know, this is going to create a lot of problems within the court. Obviously, whoever leaked this information had his or her hands on this Supreme Court opinion. So it shouldn't be very difficult to find out who did it. I mean, it's not like this is seen by hundreds of people. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I'd be surprised if more than 20 people have seen that opinion. Obviously, the justices have seen the opinion. They've read it, obviously. Obviously, the clerks, the law clerks, the people who work directly with the justices, they've seen the opinion, but because in many cases, they're the ones who do the research for the opinion. And then there may be other people in administrative positions who've seen it. But it cannot be more than 20 people, maybe 25, maybe 30, I don't know. But the point is that it shouldn't be that difficult to identify each person who saw this and try to see how you prosecute that person. And this person should be prosecuted. This is unacceptable behavior from someone who works in the Supreme Court. So this is one of those stories that is going to go on for a while. I mean, this is not ending. And I think the reaction to the opinion and the people in the streets and everything else is going to go on for a while. Abortion was one last connection, if you will, to the left. And if you take away abortion, you don't really take it away, but if you send it back to the states, what you would have then is a lot of different states with a lot of different interpretations of abortion. You already see states that are writing up abortion legislation to basically have unconditional abortion. And then you're seeing other states that are going in the other direction where abortion would be a lot more difficult. But my bottom line is that this is what the states should do. This is why we have states. This is why we have legislatures in the states, so that people can have these debates in the states. And for me, the most disappointing thing about Roe v. Wade, for the last 50 years, the public, the legislatures were not really allowed to debate abortion because of this so-called woman's right to choose that highlighted everything and did not give individual states the opportunity to settle this or compromise on the question of abortion, as is the case in most countries. In most countries, if you look around the world, most of the countries that have abortion have a, let's say, 12-week or 15-week limit or something like that on the abortion. And that's the result of a compromise in their legislature between people who want abortion and then people who say there ought to be a limit. We never had that in the United States. And in many ways, that was because of Roe v. Wade. So we'll see where this goes. I'm happy. I will be very happy if abortion has finally been put to an end. I guess we're not going to know until the opinion is officially issued by the court, but it looks like it probably will be. And maybe Chief Roberts should immediately release the official opinion just to settle the issue, because having this opinion sit around for a couple of weeks while we wait for them to publish it is probably politically a very difficult thing to do. But whoever did this at the court should be prosecuted, because that's what you do with people who act in this fashion. Well, I told you that I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about public education, expanding on the idea that public education is failing the parents. And you have more and more parents moving away from public education and going into homeschooling or charter schools or private schools. Catholic schools are doing quite well. And this is because the parents are very unhappy with public education. That's a very sad thing, because I think public education for a long time was a hallmark of the United States. But here recently, it's become very politicized, a lot of the things that we're telling our kids in school, and it has done a lot of harm to public education. And I think the public is finally fed up with the whole thing. I wanted to say one thing. There's some talk about election integrity, and I think that's something we're going to have to deal with. We'll get into it more in another commentary, but the public have got to know that the elections are clean. And right now, with the introduction of social media and all of that happening, like we saw in 2020 with Hunter Biden and Twitter, and with Martin Zuckerberg of Facebook and the allegations that he spent money to get Biden elected, I think all this stuff has to be cleared up, because the public needs to know that the elections are clean. And I think there's a lot of doubt out there as to whether or not they are clean, and that has to stop. On this day, we always like to do this, on this day in 1649, Machiavelli was born, Niccolo Machiavelli. He's the man who wrote that book, The Prince, a book that became a real, if you will, tablet or real procedural book, I guess, for people to stay in power. And the book, The Prince, is a difficult book to read. I remember reading it, but it is a fascinating book. The prince. So Mr. Machiavelli was born on this day in 1649. He passed away in 1527. So the prince and Machiavelli, and you know that expression, he's very Machiavellian. Well, that's where it comes from this man, Niccolo Machiavelli, born in Italy on this day in 1649. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.